In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Brethren in Christ, Christ is our midst. The Right Reverend Bishops of the West Coast from four different jurisdictions, the Greek, the Antiochian, Serbian, and OCA, are planning to invite the Orthodox faithful of the West Coast to celebrate the 2000th anniversary of the birth of St. Paul the Apostle. To us as Antiochians, this great Antiochian Apostle is of great importance because he was born 2000 years ago in Tarsus, near of Antioch, converted to Christianity on the road to Damascus and founded the Patriarchate of Antioch, from which he started his missionary work to Asia Minor, Greece, and then Rome, where he received the crown of martyrdom around the year 67. In his early life, Paul persecuted the Church of God violently and tried to destroy it. Great was his frenzy that he even entered into the houses, arresting men and women, for indeed he was ready to give his life for the law. And because of his violence and frenzy, he put all that fell into his hands to all manner of ill treatment and death. Being so extremely zealous for the traditions of his fathers, he advanced in Pharisaic Judaism beyond many of his Jewish people. He served not God's law, but the law of the Pharisees, who teach doctrines and precepts of man and reject the law of God. Breathing threats and murder against the disciples, Paul followed them to Damascus, so that if found any disciple, he might bring him bound to Jerusalem. He was everywhere hunting the disciples out of their hiding places and never sparing them when he found them. Suddenly, a light flashed around him from heavens and heard a voice saying, "Saul, why do you persecute me? It is hard for you to kick the pricks." For those who are not familiar with the word pricks, it's a pointed instrument or a sharp projecting part or a nail or a spur, a goad. So it is hard to kick a nail or a spur. Jesus said to him, "Why do you persecute me?" Identified himself with the disciples, he said that he was the one who is persecuted. Jesus is still suffering from the enemies of his body, which is the church. In many, many places, Jesus identified himself with the poor, with the church, with the members, with you. He declared that kindness bestowed upon his members are also done to him when he said, "I was hungry and you gave me to eat." And he added an explanation, "So long as you did it to the one of the least of mine, you did it to me." After this revelation, Paul became blind. not seeing for 3 days. God gave him grace by making him blind, teaching him how to follow him with pure heart and with blinded eyes. By this blindness, Paul's life changed and thus became a light to all the ages. If he did not lose his sight, he would have been unable to receive the spiritual light. God made him blind to his fanatic zeal and fury, and this blindness was of great benefit to him because it was the beginning of a new life. It is the blindness that created the great apostle of Christianity throughout history. Paul himself explained this, saying, "If anyone among you think himself to be wise in this age, let him become foolish in order that he may become wise." In the same way, Paul bids us become foolish toward our earthly and arrogant thinking, thereby introducing to us the true wisdom. You become a fool when you despise your snobbish ideas and are persuaded that it contributes nothing to your understanding of the faith. In this country, brethren, which is the kingdom of cults, there are now many New Age man-made doctrines. There are many religious trends that believe in the power of mind, personal convictions, and inner consciousness. As I was reading, I read a message sent to me by a friend showing that there are over 2 million people who believe today that who you are requires no belief. Heaven is not a location, but refers to the inner realm of consciousness. This New Age doctrine goes forward in its height and the mighty image of the self, saying that the man on the cross is just an image, on an archetype. He is every man and every woman. They claim, "My mind is part of God's. I am very holy. My holiness is my salvation, and my salvation comes from me. Let me remember that there is no sin." And they continue, "Do not make the pathetic error of clinging to the old rugged cross. The only message of crucifixion is that you overcome the cross." As I researched this passage, I realized that every heresy is like a chameleon or a lizard, which changes the color of its skin. The man-made heresies are expedient and quick to change their appearances to mislead you. Thus, the new form of religion is made in order to replace your traditional spirituality. Claiming that God is just but a feeling, they think that they are the consciousness of the society and not the light of this society. Remember that God catches the wise in their own craftiness, and how God catches them by showing them that while they imagined they could do without God, just then they would have all the more need of Him. These movements are that which lack the grace of God. They are purely human or man-made in character. The futility of these movements shows that their thoughts are vain. For this reason, God rebukes their thinking in order to prove that they are foolish, showing that what they thought was false is true, and vice versa. The thoughts of the New Age movements contribute nothing to a person's salvation. On the contrary, they contribute to the person's destruction. Human reasoning is unwise and weak, so one should not glory in himself, but in God, whose word cannot be altered. Whatever human begins think apart from God is foolishness. For this reason, the celebration of St. Paul's anniversary is well timed as we live in an age like ours. St. Paul's former zeal toward every man-made religion is now repeated in many, many forms. Acquiring new spiritual eyes at his conversion, Paul was worthy to be watched by the angels as he strove to win the prize of Christ. Endeavoring to establish the life of the angels on earth, he endured dangers and indignities without despair or anger. On the contrary, he was full of rejoicing, bearing insults meekly, as you heard today in his epistle, so that he might put our adversaries to shame. By no means will our present society be able to see well again unless it is first fully blinded. Also, when it rejects its own thinking, which is confusing itself, it could commit itself totally to the faith. The intense light that shone intensely at St. Paul's conversion is now needed. It's extremely needed nowadays, as this light injured him with the intensity of its rays, so we need the same light to injure our bad eyes so that we may see Christ with new eyes. How should this furious assailant of Christ, the man who would not believe in Christ's death and resurrection, the persecutor of his disciples, have become a believer had not the power of his resurrection been great indeed? Brethren, as he urges us today to become imitators of him, we are called to lose the sight of our old nature in order to gain the new eyes of faith. We should look after the liberating power represented by the light indicating the Spirit at the work in Paul's preaching and writing. In his momentary flash of his encounter with Christ, his life changed and changed us as well. For this reason, brethren in Christ, we are called to be utterly and to be transformed by the light which shines from the gospel when you read it, and from the body of Christ when you partake thereof. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.